Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next half hour, they're going to be the views of Sharon from Heart and Body Extract. And we have a new guest this evening, Margaret, who's going to be with us. Hi, Sharon. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. And Margaret, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm doing great.
All right, fine. Well, we'll talk to you in just a few minutes. Sharon, is there anything new as far as Heart and Body Extract? We know I learned I think a month ago that you have a whole flock of other products I didn't even know about.
Yeah, we have 19 different formulas. Yes, indeed. And each and every one of them are very effective. So they're all liquids, organic, wild-crafted, and each and every one works just as well as the heart and body for different kind of ailments.
All right, fine. So I'm sure that the people then that you deal with know about the other products that you have out there, but in case other people don't know or would like to know about it, how would they find out about all the products that you carry?
Have a look at healthyheartsclub.net. Again, healthyheartsclub.net, the name of the company, Healthy Hearts Club, and then net at the end.
All right, fine, because Sharon does help support Radio Liberty. Really appreciate that. Well, let's go to Margaret. Hi, Margaret. How are you doing? And why don't you tell us what your relationship is to Heart and Body Extract? Do you use the product?
Yes, I do. I started using the product about a year and a half ago. There was a man that was on my job, and he became very ill. He had a almost congestive heart failure. And he needed to go to the hospital to have a chest X-ray, and then the doctor found out that he needed a stent put in his heart. So when he went on the internet to look for some alternative medicine, because he did not want stents put in, because he had done some research. So within a week's time, 2 weeks' time, he began to feel better. So within a month's time, he started playing sports. And so he said while he was playing sports, he was looking for the chest pains to come and so forth, and nothing came. So he came back to work. He told me about it and everything, and he said, you know, I know your son had been, you know, like ill. In April of 2009, my son was diagnosed with hypercardiomyopathy, and he never had any problems whatsoever. So he said, oh, well, this will probably, you know, help your son as well. So I said, well, you know, I have heart failure in my family. And I said, you know, I don't have any problems or anything, but sometimes when I walk up steps, I feel tired. So he said, well, maybe you should try the product. So I thought to myself, well, let me try the product before I have my son to, you know, take the product. So I tried the product, and I used to have, like, sort of, like, if I was walking up the steps, my chest may get a little tight. But I never had any problems in going to the doctor. So maybe after a month or two, I felt fine. So I talked to my son about it, and, you know, he thought about it. It took me like 2 months, because he's 25 years old. He was 25 at the time. So it took me like 2 months to get him to take it. So what had happened was he was going down to Philadelphia to Jefferson Hospital and to take care of this hypercardiomyopathy, and he had just gone to the doctor for a regular checkup when they diagnosed him with this. So after 6 months, finally, I got him to take the medication, and then every 6 months, he goes down to Philadelphia for testing for the hypercardiomyopathy. And each time he goes, it has been getting better and better. Now he's able to play sports again. He's able to, like, jog and absolutely do everything. So it has worked for him as well as myself.
Well, you hang on there. Hang on to that thought. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. You go right ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but we have these breaks and I can't control them. That's all done by the computer, but you go right ahead.
Uh-huh. So it has done well for myself as well as him. And
gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Liberty. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question or comment. But before we go on, Sharon, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you. What's your telephone number? What's the website? And what will they find if they go to the website?
Sure. Okay. The phone number is 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. The website is heartandbody.com, heartandbody.com. On the website, you'll see the ingredients, what the product's made out of. You'll also see a lot of different reviews of people that have used the product. Some people ask me, are all those true? Yes, indeed. We're not in the habit of not speaking the truth, and they're all unsolicited also. So these are unsolicited remarks of the product. Very, very interesting to see that. So it's a great website. A lot of people really like it.
All right, fine. And that's Heart and Body Extra, heartandbody.com.
Right.
And because you can, of course, if you forget that, well, you can always certainly go up and on the Google or go to your search engine, just type in Heart and Body and or Heart and Body Extract, you'll get to the website.
That's right.
So basically, once again, let's talk about and just list the various products that are actually in Heart and Body Extract, because this is what, 10 herbs? 9.
Yes, It has 10 herbs in it. All of the herbs are organic or wildcrafted. Wildcrafted meaning growing in the wild. And it's an excellent herbal formula. It's designed to balance and support the heart and the circulatory system. It has in it garlic. Garlic promotes a healthy immune system. It's a powerful antioxidant. Antioxidants can help the body to fight against damaging free radicals. It supports healthy blood pressure and cholesterol levels already in the normal range. It has in it hawthorn berries and hawthorn leaves, which will restore and stimulate the heart and the arterial circulation. It regulates and balances the whole cardiovascular system. Next is coleus. Coleus has been around for 3,000 years, and it's used as a tonic for promoting a healthy heart and lungs. Incidentally, we get a lot of people that say, my lung function is better using the formula. So they're feeling better with their breathing on the formula, which is a great thing. It also supports healthy blood pressure levels already in the normal range.
Sharon?
Yes.
Can I interject one time?
Of course, yes.
What happened, I also noticed that I lost 15 pounds on heart and body extract, and my blood pressure has decreased.
Yes, your blood pressure has been going to a very good level, you say. Yes. Great. What is it running at? I mean, blood pressure will go up and down, but what are you finding it running at for you?
Mine is a 130 over 70.
Excellent.
Normally it would run like 150 over 90.
Excellent.
And now I'm down to like 130 over 70.
Well, now, Margaret, did you try to lose the weight or just come off on its own?
Well, what happened is it came off on its own because, like, when you read the material, it tells you what you can eat. And I've been following the material and, you know, what I can eat and can't, and putting, you know, away dairy products.
Okay, so there is some advice as far as diet is concerned. So, but anyway, you feel a lot better than having lost 15 pounds.
Yes, when people order Dr. Sen, we provide guidelines to healthy eating because sometimes people really don't know what the best way to eat is. And so by providing guidelines to healthy eating, that will assist a person to eat in a healthy way. Now, those are just guidelines. I've had some people say, do I have to stick with this? No, they're guidelines. But a lot of people like to follow those guidelines, and they find that it's very helpful for them.
All right. Well, you were telling us what the various products were, and you certainly mentioned garlic, which has certainly been around for, well, since the beginning of time. And that basically, of course, garlic has all sorts of functions. It strengthens the immune system, and certainly it really does provide for the health. And then hawthorn and hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves. Hawthorn has been used for, well, it's an old Chinese remedy. It's been used for strengthen the heart. In fact, that's what it's specifically for. But you go ahead with the list of things.
Sure. So we did talk about coleus. Coleus is a very old herb. It's been around over 3,000 years. Used as a tonic for promoting a healthy heart and lungs, and also supports healthy blood pressure levels already in the normal range. Next is motherwort. It's a circulatory stimulant, and it's a relaxant and a nerve tonic. Next is bilberry, which is very good for the eyes. It dilates the blood vessels and promotes a healthy immune system. Next is butcher's broom, which will maintain healthy vascular permeability and assist the circulation. Next is mistletoe. It'll promote a healthy immune system. It has a calming effect on the body. It'll support healthy blood pressure levels already in the normal range. Next is kelp, which is used mainly for the iodine and the effect on the thyroid gland. Next is ginger, which will support a healthy liver function and its nervine, and it will stimulate the circulation, especially in the extremities. And then finally, cayenne pepper. It equalizes the blood flow in the body, enhances the effect of all of the herbs, and it'll stimulate the body and the organs properly, so that they can cleanse and function optimally.
Okay, and of course, which is one thing that you're very aware of when you take this, and really after a while you get very used to it, you almost look forward to it, because ordinarily you take this and you just put it under your tongue, and is that 10 drops, 20 drops?
Well, it kind of depends on the weight. You know, different people have different weights. So let's say a person weighs 100 pounds, their dosage would be 10 drops three times a day. Let's say they weighed 150 pounds, they would take 15 drops three times a day. Let's say they weighed 200 pounds, they would take 20 drops three times a day. And let's say they're 300 pounds, they would take 30 drops three times a day, according to the weight.
All right, fine. And it just put under your tongue, and it, about a minute or so later, well, it's pretty well all absorbed. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you've used the product, why, give us a call. If you have a question, you'd like to know about more about the product, our number here at the studio is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And of course, the product we're talking about specifically, Health and Body Extract, and basically, of course, it's something that Sharon put together pretty close to a decade ago. She started out using it on herself, and then when she felt that it was worked, she tried it on a few of her friends, and when it worked for them, why, they actually set up a company, they actually market it, and it's really marketed all throughout the world today, isn't it?
Yes, we've helped many, many thousands of people all over the world. It's not unusual to ship orders to South Africa, Nigeria, Ireland, Sweden, all over the place, Malaysia. We have a lot of customers in Malaysia, a lot of customers in the UK, Australia. So, yeah, it's been a very rewarding time in terms of helping to, you know, get people's health back into balance. So, really good.
All right, fine. And just basically, is the number of people taking this and continuing to progressively increase even in these bad financial times?
Yes, amazingly. Today was a very, very busy day. I went down to Blaine, and you should have seen all the check orders there. There was a whole bunch of orders filling up my mailbox. And, you know, so that's one thing about our company. We, you know, take the Visa, MasterCard, the PayPal, and we also take checks and money orders. So absolutely, we're growing, and August has been very, very busy for us.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was an orthopedic surgeon for 35 years, and going from there to going into talk radio, and just to do this, why, we have to finance what we do. So we had to set up a mail order business, and I'll tell you, it's a whole different world out there, but it works, and we're able to raise the funds to buy time on radio stations all across the country. And really, it's very rewarding to be able to reach people, get them information on all sorts of subjects. We talk on politics and history and spiritual things, but of course we do talk on health and health products, and of course we're pleased to have your support and be able to tell people about this. I and my family take it, my son takes it, my wife takes it, and I take it, and certainly I'm doing pretty well considering I'm well over 80 years of age. Well, if you have a question or comment, the telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. You got a question, comment. One more time, the telephone number.
Sure. The phone number is 866-295-5305. Again, 866-295-5305. And then the website is heartandbody.com, heartandbody.com.
And it's a very attractive website, and there's all sorts of information there, things that you really need to know about. And the trouble is, so many people just take their health for granted. And in this day and age, you can't. You are exposed to so many pesticides and insecticides and things that are frankly unhealthy. And they surround us. Unfortunately, part of it is the curse of civilization. And I hate to say this, but part of it, I believe, is done intentionally. There's some people who think there are too many people in the world. Each of us is going to have to be responsible for our own health. And certainly we have a number of books on health. Certainly our book on health and nutrition sequencing and Save Your Life by a good friend, Dr. Blaylock, is very important. But you've got to learn how to look after your health yourself. We'll be back in just a moment. If you have a question, you're welcome to give us a call. Well, Sharon, certainly, now a lot of people up in Canada using this as well.
Well, we really don't advertise in Canada. We do advertise in the United States.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Fine. Well, you certainly one of the best salesmen for the product I've ever heard of. If you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question at all, you'd like to know anything more about the product, Sharon and Margaret with us, only going to be with us for a few more minutes, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And I know Sharon would love to know if you've taken the product, what sort of response you've had to it. basically, of course, I and I will tell you, my family do take it. We're very, very pleased. And I often will come in the kitchen and say something to my wife, and then she turns around and she points at her mouth. That means she's just taken the heart and body extract, and she has it in her mouth, and she won't talk to me until, of course, it's been dissipated.
Wise woman, Barbara. She's a very nice lady, too. I like talking to her.
Well, she is a lovely, lovely person. I'm very, very fortunate to have her. God has blessed me richly.
Absolutely.
All right, fine. Well, I got to give you one more chance to get the telephone number and the website out before we let you go.
Sure. Okay. The telephone number is 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. And then the website is heartandbody.com, heartandbody.com.
All right, Margaret, do you have anything else you say, like to say before we let you go?
I would just say that everybody should get on the product because it's absolutely excellent, and it will add longevity to your life.
Okay, and Sharon, do you have a thought for our listeners before we let you go?
I think that was very well said, what Margaret said. Product is of great value, and it can only be really good for you.
All right, fine. Well, thank you both very much. Really appreciate being with us. We'll look forward to talking to you again next month.
Okay. Thank you, Dr.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye. Fine. Well, that was Chris Sharon, and that was Margaret from Heart and Body Extract, and we do enjoy having them on every month. But right now we're going to do open lines for the rest of the hour, so if you have something you'd like to talk about, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and give us a call, and we'd be glad to know what you think about. But this has been a very, very interesting week. On Monday this week, of course, gold hit an all-time high. It was up over $1,900 an ounce, $1,905, $1,910, somewhere in there. That was on Monday when we had Bob Chapman on, and of course, we both agreed, of course, I'm really following Bob's lead because he's much smarter at this than I am. But on Thursday of this week, they were going to have the closure of the option contracts. Now, the options are sort of a gamble. People like to play against the house thinking somehow they're going to win. And believe me, you never want to play against the house. When you're gambling at Reno, wherever you are, Atlantic City, you don't play against the house because the cards are stacked against you. And with the option contracts, it's mainly the large banks. Now, it's illegal to rig the gold market, but they do it all the time. J.P. Morgan Chase, which is Rockefeller, the HSBC, Hong Kong, Singapore Bank Corporation, which is really the Royal House of England. Of course, all these people, the Black Nobility and the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers are all in on this scam. And basically, the HSBC and J.P. Morgan Chase are holding phenomenal numbers of short contracts in the price of gold. In other words, they're artificially manipulating the price of gold to keep it down. And so as the price of gold goes up, if the price of gold were $1,900 an ounce, they would lose a fortune when the options closed on Thursday. So we told you that they were going to dump the price of gold. $1,900, they got the price of gold down to $1,725 on Thursday morning. And the people who were playing against the house lost their shirts and their underwear and their shoes and their stockings, and who else knows what else they lost. This is the way the market is played. By the end of the day, when the options were closed, while the price of gold was up to about $1,775, this morning it closed today about $1,830. It'll be back up over $19, probably very, very soon, because people all throughout the world are buying gold because the whole financial structure of the world is collapsing. But, of course, they are able to manipulate this on a short-term basis. And if you don't believe the system is rigged, look and see what happened this week. A beautiful example. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Give us a call. We'd like to talk about what you'd like to talk about. While the storm clouds-
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical, which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metal. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
Numbers 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have something you'd like to talk about, but certainly the whole world financial system is beginning to collapse. Now, of course, one of the key areas where this is centered right now is in Greece, and the Greek people are simply pulling their money out of their banks because they're afraid their banks are going to collapse, and they're either taking it out of the country or they're keeping it at home. But they're getting their money out of the banks because they've lost confidence in the banking system. Of course, the countries of Europe are saying, oh, we've got to get behind Greece, you know, and so we all got to put money in to keep Greece from collapsing. Because if Greece collapses, then, of course, Portugal and Spain and Italy and Ireland, they're all going to collapse as well. But basically, Finland is saying, well, we're not going to contribute to this. We want some security. We're not going to lend money to Greece. What security will Greece put up so that we will know that if they do collapse, why, of course, we will not be losing our depositors' money. And everybody's saying, oh, you can't worry about that. You got to get behind Greece. And Finland is saying, we're not going to go along with that. And everybody's really thinking exactly the same thing. Because as they're watching what's going on in Europe, why, well, because you realize that all of these countries have massive debts, and there's no way they will ever be able to play them off. And so the only thing they're going to be able to do is either have massive inflation. Of course, Germany won't go along with that because they've had this a couple of times in the past. So the Germans aren't going to go along with the massive inflation. Or the only other thing would be Greece and Portugal and Spain and Italy and Ireland simply to pull out of the European Union, form their own currency, and let the European Union go on alone. But you see, the internationalists, the globalists, don't want that. They want, of course, to hold Europe together, to unite it into one bloc. And then, of course, when they, we have a North American bloc and a South American bloc and an Asian bloc and of course, a Muslim bloc, they're trying to unite all the Muslim worlds. That's what all the revolutions going on over there is all about. They want this bloc. And then they can have all these blocs and they can eventually merge them together into this one world government, this prophesied one world government. Because behind everything going on today are powerful spiritual forces. Well, basically, what's happening in Europe, it looks to me like basically the whole thing is going to descend onto economic chaos. If countries start defaulting or banks start defaulting on their debt, this is going to have a tremendous impact on America, because American pension funds and American insurance companies and American banks are heavily invested over in the European banks, because they get a good interest rate there, a return on their investments. But of course, if those banks become insolvent, then our banks face insolvency. The whole world monetary system, unlike anything I've seen during my lifetime, is on the brink of destruction. Well, give us a call if you have a question or comment. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And it's because the threat to the world monetary system is breaking down, it's very, very real, that people are turning to gold and the price of gold is going up. It'll probably be well over $2,000 an ounce before this year is over, and the price of silver is going to the roof. Tony in Michigan, how are you doing tonight?
How you doing, Stan?
Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I have a comment.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't know whether you heard today on one of the major cable news stations that over in Libya, okay, the rebels have let out 600 out of the prison Al-Qaeda members. Did you hear me?
No, yes, I did. Now, they've let the Al-Qaeda members out of prison?
Out of prison, they're rebels.
Okay.
Do you believe that?
I really don't know. I'm sure that the members of Al-Qaeda are working with the rebels. I know that some of the rebels actually are Al-Qaeda, and we're backing the rebels, which doesn't make sense unless you understand the whole thing is as phony as a $3 bill. We're putting
but they
up
were prisoners, and they were let out today, 600 of them.
Well, I wouldn't be at all in the least bit surprised, because, of course, Sydney, they would have been plotting against Gaddafi. He wouldn't put up with that sort of thing. He wouldn't.
Well, we're fighting Al-Qaeda. We help the rebels.
You're absolutely right. Of course we're. Where do you think Al-Qaeda came from? Al-Qaeda actually was formed with the Mujahideen that we created in the 1980s to fight the Soviets, and after, of course, the end of the Soviet conflict in 1989, why we continued financing them. It's the best enemy money could buy. I mean, if you look and see what's going on throughout the world today, American soldiers are over in Afghanistan guarding the opium fields. And they say, why are you guarding the opium fields? Well, if we didn't do that, the Taliban would destroy the opium crops over there, and then all the farmers would be mad, and how would they make a living? Tony, when the Taliban controlled Afghanistan, there were no opium crops over there. They just they didn't want the drugs to be used to corrupt the world. And now that our troops are over there, they're guarding the opium crops, and those crops are being used to corrupt the whole world. And of course, to give funding to the black side of the CIA. CIA is compartmentalized. And most people in the CIA are good people, but part of our CIA is involved, you know, with this dark side, the occult side, and they are the largest single drug dealer in the world. And if you doubt that, we've got a number of books on that. One of them, of course, is called The Search for Kunsaw. One is called Defrauding America. One is called Drugging America. Or you can go up on the internet, there's hundreds, maybe thousands of articles about this, how the CIA is involved in drugs and drug smuggling. In fact, the last columnist who ever wrote a newspaper article about that was a man named Gary Webb, who ended up shooting himself in the head twice. to be sure he was dead.
But Al-Qaeda, we're fighting him.
No, no, we're financing him, Tony. People don't understand. We're financing the people who released the Al-Qaeda members, and some of the rebels actually are Al-Qaeda, and we're financing.
Oh, my goodness.
Tony, Tony, you listen to our program every evening.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
I know you do. But don't be surprised as you see these things happening. I'm so glad you picked it up.
I sure did. Thanks, man.
God bless. Hey, thank you.
Okay,
bye-bye. Let's go to Roman, calling from Ohio. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And remember our opening statement. Reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. We have a war on drugs. We got more drugs than ever before. How could that be? We got a war on cancer. We got more cancer than ever before. We have a war on poverty. We got more poverty than ever before. When are the American people going to understand we're not fighting drugs? We are the major source of drugs throughout the world today. But you don't have to take my word. I mean, we have the books on that. But you can go up on the Internet and just put down CIA finances or drugs or sells drugs throughout the world. You'll find literally thousands of articles on that. Roman from Ohio, how are you?
Hello. Well, I'm not feeling too good, but that's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got an infection on my eyeball. Anyway, okay, why am I calling? I'm going to change the subject a little bit. You said it was any subject goes tonight.
That's right. It's open lines here at 1-800-544-8927. Go ahead, Roman.
Yeah, I want to talk about our soldiers. Army and Marine Corps, the men soldiers that are in prison now for serving over there in Afghanistan and Iraq and wind up killing, well, I don't know, last time I said it the way I thought it, they kind of cut me off. But for killing the enemy, which are the Muslims, basically, and they bring these guys back here to our country, then they file charges of murder against them. And there's a whole bunch of American soldiers now that are sitting in prison. And I was just wondering if sometime you couldn't get this here guy. Now, I hope I got his name right. Major Bill Donahue. He's a retired Marine Corps major. And he's kind of like, I don't know what the word is. If I could call it a charity, it might be the wrong word. But he's trying to do, like, defense of these soldiers by getting attorneys that are in prison. And to me, from what I see of the literature I get, I could say a few names, like Velma is one of them. There's a few others. Waterick, I think he's a younger man, but there's at least 10 or 12 guys I get letters about. And to me, if they were working as a soldier, you get trained to kill the enemy. So all this stuff, what they're doing, I think is another way that our government, the evil people, are destroying us by destroying the military and destroying the morale of the soldiers.
Well, I share your concern, Roman, but it would depend now. Certainly, you would never want to kill a helpless civilian or, you know, an unarmed individual. I mean, occasionally you'll find people who will do this. I mean, our depraved people in the world, but sometimes as soldiers are in a position they don't know sometimes whether it's an enemy or not, and it's really what their intention was. If they're doing this for fun, that is deplorable, and they deserve to be in prison. If they did it inadvertently as an accident, and accidents do occur in war, and a lot of civilians do get killed, and we're justifying doing the bombing over there, and whether it's a lot of American planes and a lot of American drones are over there in Libya dropping bombs and killing civilians. And, of course, they say, well, it's mostly NATO. But remember, we pay for 3/4 of the bombs that NATO drops. We supply the bombs. So, but certainly the soldiers who are the flyers who are flying the planes, we don't accuse them of murder because a lot of civilians get killed. and bombing raids. But certainly, if you just look somebody in the eye and you shoot them, well, that would be wrong. You would be depraved. If you inadvertently kill somebody or a civilian, then, of course, you should not, in my estimation, be charged with a criminal thing. And I really don't know anything about these cases you're speaking of. Would you like to give us some examples?
Well, it's too late in the evening, and
okay. Well, you know, certainly we know that. I mean, you go back. There was
no. I mean, I'm tired. My mind's not working as
quick. Okay. Well,
as
I was just thinking back to Vietnam, and there was a place called My Lai.
I wasn't in Vietnam, but I remember all that.
But you know, the thing is that basically Lieutenant Calley, who was in charge, was told to go in and take this village. He was told it was a Viet Cong village, which it really wasn't. It wasn't in favor of the East Side. It's just people wanted to be left alone. And sometimes the Viet Cong controlled the village. Other times the Americans controlled it. And what they went in and they raped the women. I mean, there was no excuse for that thing. They were killing the children. In fact, an American helicopter landed, and this American helicopter pilot rescued the Vietnamese children so that our soldiers wouldn't kill them. And he actually got a medal for doing that, for landing and saving the children from American soldiers. War does terrible things to people. It's not natural that you would kill other people. There's a wonderful book written by Seymour Hersh about My Lai. It's well worthwhile reading. And you get some insight into how these people felt. They were sick, and they'd lost a lot of their buddies, and they were just filled with anger and hatred and frustration. And to send those people into a village to subdue it, and what happened there was unconscionable, but it's a total breakdown of the leadership on the part of Lieutenant Calley. And, of course, he was convicted for his crimes. He was eventually pardoned by Richard Nixon. And a lot of Americans said, oh, that was a wonderful thing. No, it wasn't. He did some terrible things. And I don't care how the terrible war is, you can never become as depraved as the leaders who send our men in to fight and bleed and suffer and die in a no-win war. And Vietnam was a no-win war, just like the war in Afghanistan was a no-win war. We didn't go there to win. We've been there for almost 10 years now, and we're still fighting there in a war we've never tried to win. Why? Because, of course, there's only about 50 members of al-Qaeda in the entire country, and we've got 250,000 men there. And you have to ask yourself why. And the reason they're there is, at least in part, is to guard the opium fields so that the Taliban can't destroy them. And the criminals are not the soldiers in the field. The criminals are the people in Washington, D.C., who are behind this whole thing. And, of course, men and women of this country who have not had the courage to speak out against it, because we'd far rather watch football and basketball and baseball than take a stand against evil. And war is evil. There's no way you can justify it.
Well, anyway, Dr. Stan, I wonder if maybe sometime we couldn't get this here guy. Like I say, I don't remember his name exactly.
Well, you're going to have to get me his name. You look it up in my telephone.
No, Major Bill Donahue.
Okay.
And his organization is something like, if I got the name right, United American Patriots. I think he could talk about individual cases better than I can.
Major Bill Donovan.
Yeah. Bill Donahue, think, a retired Marine Corps.
All right, fine. Well,
and they're arranging, like, defense for many of these soldiers, and I don't believe that these soldiers are all depraved. I think they're just genuine soldiers that they get involved. They kill people, and then they have charges filed against them, but in a split-second decision, man, you don't know who the enemy is. You know, you have people shooting at you, and you're supposed to, you know.
I think you're absolutely right, Roman. Basically, I think every case is different. But certainly, in war, a lot of people get killed. The problem is that our boys shouldn't be there at all. They never should have gone there.
Because the
Twin Towers did not come down because of an attack by 19 hijackers. After all, 6 of those 19 hijackers are alive and well, and you can check that out on the Internet. How could 6 of those 19 hijackers who died on September 11th be alive and well today? And go to your search engine. Go ahead.
Just to talk about those buildings, right. I'm an engineer, but I'm not a structural engineer. I don't get into architecture and all that kind of stuff. But I can tell you from the videos that I have seen, I doubt that two airplanes or one airplane driving into the side of the building could bring it down like it did.
It did not. I mean, there were controlled demolitions, basically.
I don't know if you ever had her on your show, this Dr. Judy. She's a woman, Dr. Judy Ward, I think is her name. But she's one of the physicists that have studied the buildings, and she thinks there's something else going on there, like maybe some other different kind of a force or different kind of energy that they're using to make them buildings crash like that.
I think we get into trouble when we speculate why they came down, but I do, there's no question this was a controlled demolition.
Right,
Building 7
right.
was a controlled demolition. Watch it come down. You can see the center of the roof collapse
right,
first.
I've got some videos right. on that here.
Hang on for just a moment. We'll be back in a moment to wrap up the program. Roman, go right ahead. You're going to say you have some videos, and certainly you would agree that this. Let's see the thing that this
I've
makes.
Got...
This it puts an entire.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that, thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
And if you'd like to get some of our products, 1-800-544-8927. Certainly, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. You need to hear my talks. They're on DVD. The Forbidden Secret, The Dark Secret. And the syllabus goes with those, which will help you to understand the true nature of the spiritual battle that's going on behind the political, ideological, and cultural battle that most people see today. But there are powerful spiritual forces. That DVD, The Forbidden Secret, and The Dark Secret. They're two separate talks. And, of course, you can see my talk, The Brotherhood of Darkness, on DVD. You can get that from us. Or you can see it on our website at radioliberty.com. Now, we, of course, have some wonderful books we're offering, and certainly we're carrying the book, The Hunt for Kunsaw. Kunsaw was the, that's K-U-H-N-S-A. He was the drug lord who controlled the Golden Triangle and the drugs in coming out of Burma and Thailand for 20 years or more. And, of course, the search for Kunsaw goes into the background of the fact that the CIA is the primary source of drugs throughout the world today. They were behind Kunsaw and the Golden Triangle, so they're behind the drugs being grown in Afghanistan today. But we can't let the American people know that. Fortunately, the information's up on the Internet, but the book, The Search for Kunsaw, is The Hunt for Kunsaw. Excellent book. We had with us last night Warren Smith, his talk on the false Christ coming. Does anybody care? That's False Christ Coming. Excellent book, going into the background of the prophetic events that are taking place. The book, The Black Awakening, about the hundreds of thousands of Americans who've been victims of mind control, who have disassociated personalities, and, of course, the waiting for when the word is given. We have the 4-CD set, The Dark Awakening, and we have the book, The Black Awakening, by Doug Riggs. You'll really enjoy that. And then we're going to have Dennis Keddie's wonderful new book, The Power Elite and the Secret Nazi Plan. The Power Elite and the Secret Nazi Plan. If you'd like to know about the Illuminati, one of the most fascinating secret societies of all time, organized in 1776, why, Dr. Keddie's did a series of talks on that. And they're available in 2 4-CD sets, The Illuminati Part 1, The Illuminati Part 2. We recommend them to you. They're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Let me mention that we will be talking in Littleton, Colorado, on the 17th of September. And if you want more information, call our 800 number. We will be having our all-day conference here, our annual Radio Liberty Conference, here on the North Shore of Monterey Bay at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. And that's going to be on the 23rd of October. And you can find out about it, make your reservations, because we'll be all day long. We're serving lunch. By calling 1-800-544-8927. What can you do to help? Well, you can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us as we progressively expand our network. And we actually have a new station that we actually have taken on. It's going to be in Phoenix, Arizona. We've got a real good station there. We've got we try to add stations as rapidly as we can. If you're in a position to help us, when you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us to maintain our network, our number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then we, of course, ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so we'll be back in just a moment. Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair as we raise our voices. In a solemn prayer. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend William Grigg, the former editor of senior editor of the New American Magazine. Now, of course, he writes his own blog. He writes our regular newsletter. In fact, William, we're going to have to get another newsletter when you have a chance.
Get one probably over the weekend.
All right, very good. And then, of course, we'll tell you more about his ministry as time goes by. But, William, what are we going to talk about today?
Dr. Stan, as always, it's a pleasure and a blessing to be with you. And we're going to have to talk, I think, about the manifold and multiplying illustrations of the fact that only people who are severely deluded can believe that we live in anything resembling a free country. That's, of course, something of a dismal message to be sharing on a lovely summer Friday evening. But I think, once again, as you point out, Dr. Stan, we have to be governed by reality rather than find ourselves slave to illusion. And one of the things that is going to be much discussed over the next couple of weeks, and perhaps for the next month and a half or so, of course, is the 10th year anniversary of the 9/11 atrocity, which was one of the most eminently preventable catastrophes in the history of American statecraft. One need not be at the fringe of the revisionist element of the conversation concerning 9/11 to understand that even if you accept the standard narrative of that event, that this is an event that could have been prevented, that there was detailed and actionable intelligence well in advance of the attack that could have been used to interdict the conspiracy as described by the powers that be on their own terms. The evidence that they have provided for public consumption confirms that this is something that was preventable, even if one doesn't accept any of the other revisionist approaches to describe what happened on 9/11. There are many people of sound mind and formidable experience who insist that what we saw was not what the standard narrative describes, namely that you had 19 hijackers commandeer airplanes and bring down those towers and attack the Pentagon in the fashion that has been described to us. As I've said before, I'm a persuadable skeptic or a persuadable agnostic regarding those claims, but on the terms that have been prescribed to us by the custodians of polite opinion, there's enough in the public record to confirm that we've been lied to. And to that formidable mass of evidence, we add the following news story. And this is, once again, from a certifiable credentialed establishment source, the New York Times, in what amounts to a fight over who gets to write the history of the September 11th aftermath attacks and their aftermath, rather. The Central Intelligence Agency is demanding extensive cuts from the memoir of a former FBI agent who spent years near the center of the battle against Al-Qaeda. The agent, Ali H. Sofan, argues in the book that the CIA missed a chance to derail the 2001 plot by withholding from the FBI information about two future 9/11 hijackers living in San Diego, according to several people who have read the manuscript. We stop right there and point out that just within the last week or so, Richard Clark, who was the counterterrorism czar under both Clinton and George W. Bush, said pretty much the same thing, that there were efforts being made by the CIA to protect people who ended up taking part in the plot as described to us in the conventional narrative.
But you see, William, the problem with that, and I will have to admit that something I studied this very, very extensively, wrote a series of articles about it, and they are available through my ministry in a series of four pamphlets. And for almost 2 years, I believed that exactly what you say. Certainly, the attack was preventable. They knew who these people were. They were monitoring. They were following them along, whether it would be Abel Danger, these two fellas in San Jose. Mm-hmm. But the question is, well, we'll be back in just a moment. There's another more serious question. And that is, you know, one of the things that, that finally, after 2 years and hearing all these people talking about how those buildings did not come down because the planes hit them, I sat down and watched Building 7 come down 10 times. I watched it come down 10 times. And, of course, as you watch it come down, you can see it on my website. Why, you can see the center of the roof collapse first. It forms a V, and then there's a building up on top of the roof there, and it disappears. And then the base of the building collapses. Why would a symmetrical base of the building collapse after the center of the building collapses first? Well, it was because that's a controlled demolition. You take out the central core so the walls will fall in rather than outward, and then you take out the base of the building, and the building falls at the speed of sound. And if Building 7 was a controlled demolition, and basically I have an interview with a fellow who was there the following day, and his job was to take care of controlled demolitions and clean up the debris, and he said, 99%, it was sure it was a controlled demolition. 99%, that's pretty good. I'm an expert in the field. Why, of course, my feeling is if Building 7 was a controlled demolition, why, of course, it was all alive. And, of course, this article that recently came out, and I've read this article in the New York Times that you're speaking of, and I think that this is more of the effort to confuse us. So, did the government know and withhold the information? Did the government try to cover up the fact that they knew? Or is this all part of this continuous effort to make us believe, as I did for 2 years, that they could have prevented this, and they did not? In other words, they knew it was coming, and they wanted it to occur. Or is the truth of the matter that those buildings were taken down by controlled demolition? I am firmly convinced, having studied this, having talked to Dr. Stephen Jones, who studied this there at the University of Brigham Young University, and his life was threatened. Yes. They threatened the university, and they demanded that this man be discharged. Fortunately, he was allowed to retire. But hey, what was his crime? He found thermite, of course, in the dust that came from the collapse, and it was very obvious there were explosives in that building that took it down. And I know person after person who has either been threatened or has actually been killed to silence them about that. But I think that this article in the New York Times is simply nothing more than part of the same old program of disinformation to confuse us.
Well, I don't think that there's a necessary tension between the two alternatives you described here, Dr. Stan, in that we may be seeing what the Nixon administration famously referred to as a modified limited hangout. That is to say, as...
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with William Gregg. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is William Gregg. And William is just saying that this may be this recent article, certainly about the fact that the government did know who these terrorists were, and they did know they were here to participate in some sort of nefarious activities and did nothing about it. Well, how do you describe that, William?
A modified limited hangout.
Yeah, right. Go right
what
ahead.
What you're doing is you're engaging in something of a plea bargain when you're doing something that is so dastardly, so sinister, of such palpably and patently criminal nature that if people really know what you're up to, you're likely to find yourself at the wrong end of a rope. What you do is you admit to something that is pretty bad, but nowhere near as bad in terms of the sheer magnitude of horror as that what you've actually done. So rather than admitting, if we stipulate to what Dr. Jones and others have said, that this entire event was stage managed and choreographed, you simply admit to culpable malfeasance or misfeasance of office or culpable incompetence that resulted in this catastrophe. Remember, the first position that they threw at the public was that nobody could have anticipated this, in spite of the fact that this scenario of hijacking planes and using them as guided missiles was actually a fairly commonplace trope in terrorist circles beginning in 1993, 1994, the Bohinka plot that was described in a lot of the literature and was unveiled in the Philippines as long ago as about 1993 or 1994 or so. So, of course, that makes no sense at all. The second argument that we heard was that there was too much chatter and there were too many barricades that separated the various intelligence agencies from each other. There was a wall that they couldn't get through. They had to tear down the wall. They had to commingle intelligence. That meant that you had to amalgamate and consolidate all of these agencies into one huge vertically integrated national security leviathan. In other words, what they were saying is that there was just too much information. The lights were blinking red, as Richard Clark once said, and I believe George Tenet used the same metaphor. All the lights were blinking red, but we just couldn't talk to each other, which, of course, is nonsense on stilts. That the third idea that was put into circulation was that actually there were failures of intelligence, but all the people responsible for these failures were promoted. So if you have a Soviet-style bureaucracy in which people fail upwards, that makes sense. In the American system, of course, that makes no sense as well. Now they've gotten to the point where they're saying, well, actually, there was this attempt by the CIA to cultivate these people as assets, and we've got a case of domestic blowback here. And so you've got a rivalry between the FBI and the CIA that's revealed in the turf war over this book by this translator who's making these charges that resonate with the things that Richard Clark was saying about the CIA protecting these people rather than bringing them in. And this is stuff, once again, that's been in the public domain. I was writing about very similar cases in 2001, 2002, talking about what I'd been told by people who were in the FBI about the detailed intelligence on the people who were allegedly involved in this plot and how they were being forbidden by their superiors to take proactive measures to prevent this terrorist plot from reaching fruition. So that's all one possible scenario, that you're dealing here with all this mess that is a product of opportunism and incompetence, or you could have, once again, the powers that be simply admitting in sort of an incremental fashion all these other things that fall very short of what would be actually a choreographed, orchestrated event conducted by the government, in which they were completely responsible for what we saw. And the cover story that we're all wrestling with is a multi-layered fiction intended to protect the people who are really guilty. There's not necessarily a tension between the two of those two alternatives. They can be reconciled. But my point in focusing on this is to talk about the way that the CIA in particular has managed to insert itself, to insinuate itself into the warp and weave of America's domestic law enforcement apparatus in ways that are very, very dangerous. If we take at face value these disclosures about how the CIA was running interference for these people before 9/11, they were protecting people who ended up taking part in this devastating and earth-shattering terrorist event, then it makes no sense at all to have the CIA being put in charge of intelligence operations for the NYPD in New York City. And yet that's something that has been discussed this week as well. There was this remarkable piece by the Associated Press talking about how in 2002, Mr. Cohen, David Cohen, a former operations officer, I believe he was the head of the operations director of the CIA. By the time he retired in 2000, he was not well liked in the operations directorate. He'd been an analyst for a decade or a decade and a half before that. But he was brought out of retirement in 2002 and put in charge of creating within the New York Police Department, which has between, 37 and 40,000 officers, which makes it, quite a bit larger than the FBI in terms of personnel. This guy, Mr. Cohen, was put in charge as the civilian intelligence czar for the NYPD, and what he did was he started to replicate the CIA within this police department, which is, of course, staggeringly illegal and entirely improper. And at the same time, there was another individual, another official from the CIA, who was put in charge as a liaison between the CIA and the NYPD, and suddenly, you have a situation where you have this multi-layered system in the NYPD that, once again, is modeled after the CIA, where you have a demographic squad, or demographic team is what they were called, that divided the city up into 12 regions and supervised people from these 12 regions on the basis of their country of origin and the language they spoke. And so you would cultivate people who were described as walking cameras for the police department, who would simply prowl the streets and hang out in the local tiendas or bodegas or little convenience stores at the hookah shops. They'd go to the internet cafes. They'd go to the various clubs. They'd just be there basically to collect surveillance in terms of what they saw, they heard. And in doing so, they started to try to find people who were potentially vulnerable to recruitment as informants. And some of them became what they called seated informants, people who were agents in place who were being used as regular contacts, could keep notes on what they heard, what they saw. And then they also started to recruit other people who were attending mosques or going to other religious services in the area and within the various areas of responsibility. And these people were called mosque crawlers. So on the first you had, the first layer were people called rakers. Their job was simply, literally, to go throughout the neighborhood, raking through the coals, trying to find an ember of potential radicalism, and also to locate people who were potentially susceptible either to some kind of implicit extortion or to some kind of an inducement to become informants. And they were given instructions, these police agents, these police intelligence officers, to use any pretext they could find in order to put pressure on people. They'd conduct traffic stops, they'd conduct code enforcement raids, they'd try to find some way of creating pressure through an inducement, usually in the form of losing a traffic ticket, losing a citation, or taking care of some kind of a code violation, however spurious it might be, in order to put these people into their debt and to make them susceptible to a pitch to become informants. You know, compromise them and turn them into informants. And those informants were called mosque crawlers. They would go from mosque to mosque in New York City trying to find examples of potential radicalism. Now, of course, there are people in American mosques who are radicalized. And for the most part, you're dealing with people who are radicalized in the sense that they resent American foreign policy. They resent the spectacle of Americans being sent abroad to countries that have never attacked or threatened us and killing people who pose no threat to us. They're particularly resentful, of course, over the spectacle of women and children being killed in drone strikes and in bombing campaigns and things of that sort. They're generally not radicalized in the sense of wanting to attack America because we're infidels. They're generally radicalized in the sense that they want to see an end to American imperial foreign policy, and that makes them somewhat receptive when a provocateur shows up and starts pitching them a line about fighting jihad against the great Satan. That's what the FBI has been doing. There's a certain complementarity here in terms of what the FBI is doing and what the NYPD, with the help of the CIA, was doing in terms of the way that they would cultivate informants and then send provocateurs into these various houses of worship for the purpose of trying to catalyze radicalism. Usually they'll find some socially isolated and perhaps socially inept people of small means and maybe questionable backgrounds, usually very limited mental agility, who end up being recruited into these supposed terrorist plots that are orchestrated entirely by the FBI. But the thing I find most interesting about this is the way that the FBI and CIA, which are institutional rivals to a certain point, have been working really complementary strategies here. The Division of Labor historically has been that the CIA is in charge of generating blowback overseas by arranging coups and insurgencies and insurrections and recruiting some of the worst elements of any society to be involved in tearing down an existing government and replacing it with something that's in Washington's pocket but pretty loathsome. Well, we're seeing that happen right now in Libya, for instance. I mean, Muammar Gaddafi was brought to power in 1969 with the help of the CIA and British intelligence, and he proved to be a little bit too independent for the tastes of the United States. He sort of gravitated into the Soviet orbit, but he was never a fully functioning Soviet satellite as far as I can tell. And a couple of years ago, he was brought back into the good graces of Washington, but then he started making noises about perhaps breaking away from the petrodollar condominium and starting up a separate oil bourse that would be a market in which you'd have something other than dollars accepted for petroleum. And of course, Gaddafi was sitting on a huge hoard of gold as well, which made him uncomfortably independent. So you had British intelligence and the CIA and French intelligence as well. I mean, of course, he needed to go out and find a crappy little country to throw up against the wall in order to boost his re-election prospects. And here you have Libya as the preferred punching bag. You had these people put together out of the rabble of the most disreputable elements of the international jihadist movement, this so-called gang of freedom fighters who are going to replace Gaddafi if this comes to fruition. That's the sort of thing the CIA has been involved in overseas since time immemorial. Well, the FBI has gotten involved in that business domestically. And now you've got the CIA in New York and elsewhere working through local police departments to do exactly the same kind of thing.
And, of course, they would go in and they'd befriend somebody that would become the best friend of these patsies. And, of course, they were set up, and once they agreed to go along, get involved with the jihadist movement, Why, of course, then they would be convicted and sent to prison for the rest of their life. So be careful of anybody who wants to be a friend, ladies and gentlemen. They could very well be a government agent. Go right ahead, William.
One of the pieces of folk wisdom for the 19th.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Agencies, and the purpose behind them is to actually encourage people to become involved in illegal activity and
yeah.
to actually entrap people into doing things they never would have done otherwise. And of course, this is simply entrapment, but they have very, very convincing people who have a lot of money and they can become your best friend. And if you know somebody and suddenly you get to meet them and they're nice and they're friendly and they really like you and they want to get to know you and your family and be suspicious. And you hate to say this, but unfortunately, in this day and age, you never know who your best friend might be. It's happened time and time again that people's very best friend was actually a government agent there to entice people into doing something illegal for them so they could put you in prison. Go right ahead.
Yeah, that's the most important thing you should look for, is somebody who is urging to do something that is manifestly unethical and of dubious legality, and doing this particularly as some kind of a grand gesture. If somebody is giving you advice of that sort, and he's somebody who simply materialized all of a sudden with a lot of resources he can't fully account for and a lot of detailed interest in what you're doing that strikes you as a little suspicious, it's wise to be wary of people of that sort. And that's one of the things that, once again, was part of the folk wisdom of the 1960s when the FBI was running COINTELPRO and basically keeping the National Socialist Movement alive and keeping the Ku Klux Klan alive and infiltrating the Black Panthers and the Brown Berets and a number of other radical ethnic groups. And in the 1970s, the NYPD, which had a so-called Red Squad that was attached to the FBI's COINTELPRO initiative, infiltrated the local Black Panther Party with agent provocateurs. And this is part of course, the standard issue format of getting somebody to do something that could be described as part of a criminal conspiracy, framing them up, either setting them up to be imprisoned or assassinated or to set people off against each other. In the 1980s, there was an order signed by a district court judge called the Handshoe Agreement that imposed restrictions on what the NYPD could do by way of infiltrating these groups with agent provocateurs. Now, after 2001, after 9/11, that order was lifted by U.S. District Court Judge Charles Haight, and he said that, quote, the Constitution's protections are unchanging, but, you know, anytime you use the word but, anytime you use that conjunction that way, you're nullifying what came before it. That's what I call the rule of the inevitable but. That's the pivot of a sentence that renders irrelevant what came before it. The Constitution's protections are unchanging, but the nature of public peril can change with dramatic speed, as recent events show. And so he lifted these restrictions. And within a year, you had David Cohen from the CIA and his deputy, Larry Sanchez, from the CIA, recreating the CIA's operational directorate and its surveillance techniques within the NYPD. And they were using these infiltrators, these rakers, to go out and gather up informants, and the mosque crawlers to go and infiltrate the mosques and rile up people. And this is all done for the supposed purpose of gathering intelligence on active threats. I think the real purpose is twofold, the first of which, of course, is to recruit people who could be used in this ongoing homeland security theater, this kabuki theater of threats where these plots are organized and then taken down amid great fanfare to convince the public that we're in a state of perpetual peril. I think the other thing here is to help do damage control for the CIA when those plots go awry. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to pair that story with these other potentially significant disclosures or accounts of the CIA before 9/11 actually running interference for these people who are among the so-called hijackers that are, according to the standard narrative, responsible for 9/11. The same CIA that would be doing that is the CIA that would be running these local police departments, particularly the large municipal police departments, and supposedly conducting their intelligence for them for the purpose of threat abatement. When, according to what we hear from people who are actually part of this outfit, these are the folks who are in charge of creating the threat and mishandling the threat. And it goes back to the old saw from Frederick Bastiat about how the people in charge of these operations create the poison and the antidote in the same laboratory.
I think you're absolutely right. And we hear about this terrible threat of terrorism, but almost all of the people who've been arrested for terrorism in the United States have been actually talked into it by government agents. I mean, we had the underwear bomber. He was a real bomber. But, of course, see, they gave him a set of underwear that couldn't possibly explode. We had the shoe bomber, but they gave him a pair of shoes that couldn't explode. We had the Times Square bomber, but he went to Pakistan, and he was taught how to build a smoke bomb, which he set off in Times Square, a bomb that never could have exploded. How could that possibly be? We'll be back in a moment. Well, William, you go right ahead.
One of the things that we need to add to the discussion here, when you correctly point out that you could round up to all of them the number of terrorist plots that are actually orchestrated by the FBI and by their Joint Terrorism Task Force is using officials that are literally called terrorism facilitators. I actually have seen, I've documented how, in more than one case, a federal attorney has used the expression terrorism facilitators to describe the people who recruit the dim-witted and the manipulable into these so-called plots. Even factoring in the number of terrorist plots that would be genuine here, the fact is that Americans, for all intents and purposes, almost never are threatened by terrorism. The State Department's country reports on terrorism, it just came out for the most recent year, 2010, noted that last year, 2010, worldwide, 15 American private citizens were killed by terrorism. 15 worldwide were killed by terrorism everywhere in the world in the year 2010. That's roughly half the number of people who were killed by lightning strikes. And that's less than half the number of people who were killed by dog bites. 15 Americans throughout the entire world. That's American private citizens, civilians. We're not talking about people who would be on the receiving end of what would be described as terroristic strikes in Afghanistan and Iraq and places like Libya, who are active-duty military or intelligence personnel or government officials who are thus targeted. We're talking about common, average, everyday American citizens, the revenue-generating, wealth-generating class rather than the wealth-devouring class. Of that cohort of people, only 15 people worldwide were killed by terrorism, and yet we're told that the crisis is ongoing, the threat is ever-escalating, their insecurity is mounting, and that only through the devoted exertions of our sanctified protectors can we possibly be safe from the malign intentions of the omnipotent troglodytes who inhabit caves in Afghanistan and such like. And what terrorism exists once again is largely, if not entirely, a result of blowback, that is to say, reprisals for invasions or other forms of...
Hold that thought, we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest, of course, is William Grigg, and we're just talking about the phony war on terrorism. Oh, we've lost a lot of men over there in Afghanistan, but we're not fighting terrorism over there. As we pointed out, there's only 50 to 100 members of Al-Qaeda, and we got a quarter of a million men over there to fight them. We had no business at all going into Iraq. It was not a terrorist nation. It was no threat to the United States. There were no weapons of mass destruction there. Any that there were ones that we had actually given to Saddam Hussein. We sent him the bacteriological agents that he used to build his biological weapons. We sent him the chemical agents he needed to build his chemical weapons. But they never tell the American people that. Well, of course, we've had all these phony terrorist attacks, the shoe bomber, the underwear bomber, the smoke bomber, and none of these were intended to go off. It was all for the psychological impact on the American people. Well, of course, before we go on, William, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get to your written material. Of course, they can read the letters you write for Radio Liberty on our website, or certainly subscribe to our newsletter. But how can they get to your material, and then how can they certainly get to your PayPal button?
Dr. Stan, thank you so much. My blog is called Pro Libertate, that's ProLiberTate, and a simple Google search using Pro Libertate and my last name, Grigg, should turn up the blog. Or just type in William Grigg or William N. Grigg, and one of the first returns should be Pro Libertate, the blog. Certainly, if you use my last name and Pro Libertate as the search terms, you should be able to get that right at the top of the list. Or you can go to the URL, which is freedominourtime.blogspot.com. freedominourtime.blogspot.com. Try to update it a couple of times a week as my situation permits. You mentioned, Dr. Stan, there is a PayPal button at the end of every essay, and I am very, very grateful to you and very grateful to the members of your audience who have supported me and my family as we have tried to stay afloat amid the turbid seas of financial misfortune and economic catastrophes that are buffeting all of us. This is, of course, a profoundly frightening time, and it's only getting worse, and it will continue to get worse because the people who are the architects of our disaster are following the same plan that led us to this catastrophe. But many people who are followers of your eminently worthwhile program, Dr. Stan, have been very generous to us. We're very grateful to them. A lot of what I publish at Pro Libertate is also republished at lewrockwell.com, lewrockwell.com. Mr. Rockwell is the founder, the head of the Mises Institute in Alabama, and lewrockwell.com is one of the most widely read liberty-oriented websites in the world. If you want to characterize the philosophy as libertarianism or anarcho-capitalism or classical liberalism, paleoconservatism, by whatever label you wish to refer to it, the philosophy they promote is freedom through the legal protection of individual liberty, being the highest political good. It's not the highest good, of course, but the highest political good. And Lou Rockwell's website, as I mentioned, is widely read and has a very big footprint. And a lot of what I write is republished at lewrockwell.com, including the most recent essay on my Pro Libertate website. And I also contribute to the blog, which is found at the right-hand side of the screen if you go to lewrockwell.com. I'm still in the process of getting Pro Libertate Radio back on the air, and I appreciate your help, Dr. Stan, in making some relevant connections there. Hopefully in the next week or so I'll have some news on that front. There's a possibility I might be changing the name of Pro Libertate Radio to something else. If that's the case, I'll certainly let you and your listeners know. And as I mentioned at the top of the broadcast, Dr. Stan, over the weekend you should be receiving another installment of the Radio Liberty newsletter. I've got a rough draft as it finished that I'm going through and trying to put in the relevant endnotes and other appurtenances to make it ready to send, hopefully by the end of working hours tomorrow. So you should be getting that pretty soon. And I really appreciate the opportunity you've given me to be part of your undertaking in that respect as well.
Well, we appreciate it. It's given me additional time to get some of the things done that needed to be done. And so that anybody can read our newsletters. They're all posted up there over a period of well over a decade. And so it's time for the younger blood to come on anyway. And of course, there is a PayPal button at the bottom of every one of Wyndham's newsletters. And certainly we appreciate if you would consider him and his family. He's doing a great job and certainly one of the most astute observers we have in the conservative movement. Go right ahead, Wyndham.
Dr. Stan, we were talking before the break about the negligible impact of terrorism in terms of the threat it poses to the life, liberty, and property of American citizens. And you couple that, of course, with the exponential growth in the so-called counterterrorism apparatus, which has become pretty much the defining reality of public policy. That is the central organizing principle, to use Al Gore's infamous expression, of modern politics, quite frankly, is the national security / homeland security state. It is pervasive. It is all-encompassing. It literally has tendrils into everything that we do. It's something that grows almost in inverse proportion to the actual tangible threat. We've gotten to the point now where, according to what is available in the public record, the best estimate is that there are something like 15,000 informants on the payroll of the FBI through the Joint Terrorism Task Forces, which you might as well call the Homeland Security Soviets, which are scattered across the countryside. Every single one of those informants, of course, has to find something to inform about. They have to be out gathering data. They have to be out harvesting information and then putting it in this vast storehouse of data that is presided over by the FBI and shared, of course, with the other appendages of the Homeland Security Leviathan. And you have, once again, this remarkable situation in New York where you have the NYPD, in a way that is staggeringly unconstitutional and completely improper, allowing itself to be reconfigured from within as if by a retrovirus through the CIA's administrations. The CIA is banned by hard black-letter law from conducting surveillance domestically. This never stopped them, of course, from doing so. But the fact that they're able to second these officers under the direction of a so-called ex-CIA operations, director of operations official, and I'm of the firm opinion that there is no such thing as an ex-spook. I believe, as my friend Tom Medlem likes to say, once a spook, always a spook. But if they can arrange to second these NYPD officers to use as part of a domestic CIA that was put together along the lines of the CIA and presided over by two veteran CIA officers, then this supposedly is perfectly legal, when of course it isn't. It's entirely inappropriate. But this is going to replicate itself. Once again, think of the viral model in order to understand how this is going to replicate itself in other major police departments, assuming it hasn't already. I know that the LAPD was also making noises about having a similar arrangement. This would have been in 2003, 2004, so we've been told that didn't come to fruition. I'm a skeptic here. I think that we will find out that the LAPD has exactly the same arrangement, and I think we'll find out that the much-discussed rivalry between the FBI and CIA, while acute in terms of petty and superficial differences, is at some level as phony as a lot of the rivalries you find in professional wrestling. I mean, if you take a look at the origins of the FBI, it was always a domestic intelligence and secret police agency from the time that J. Edgar Hoover turned the Bureau of Investigation into the FBI. He was somebody who was the keeper of the files, and he had absolutely no scruples about collecting evidence, or not evidence, but collecting information that could be used for the purposes of what the Soviets call kompromat, you know, material that could be used to blackmail and manipulate and influence people in ways that are contrary to their interests and usually contrary to the public interest as well. That's the sort of racket that J. Edgar Hoover was involved in for decades. And when the CIA got going as an outgrowth of British intelligence efforts in the 1930s to help manipulate the United States into the war with Germany, Hoover was somewhat taken aback, somewhat chagrined, somebody else would be playing on his turf. But the fact is they were largely complementary, and now we're seeing that they're becoming complementary again when suddenly you have the CIA running intelligence programs to help seed the field, to help cultivate the field that the FBI later harvests in terms of bringing on board the informants and provocateurs that make this engine run. And I'm convinced that, once again, this is metastasized deeply into the marrow of every law enforcement agency in the country, in the same way that you have the Pentagon taking an active role in practically every police agency of any size in the country. Just about every police department in the country has a SWAT team, whether or not they need one. Here in Treasure Valley, I'm living in Payette, a town of about 7,000. It's the county seat of Payette County. Across the Snake River, you have Treasure Valley, Oregon, or Ballyhoo County, Oregon, which is a geographically huge and very thinly populated county. We don't need a SWAT team, but yet there are SWAT teams that are equipped by the Pentagon of the Department of Homeland Security, and often they are trained with the help of the Pentagon. You create basically these little standing armies in the guise of police departments. And this has all been done in the name of the war on drugs. That's the way that the police departments have become militarized.
I think we've lost our guest. Hopefully he'll be calling back again. Looks like he is. All right. Well, Sydney, I share William's concern about what's happening to our police departments. And certainly William was talking about how we are there getting informants. It was about 48 years ago when I was recruited as a young leader of the anti-communist movement in the community where I live, and I was contacted by someone who wanted me to become an informant. Now, he told me it was not for the FBI. He would not tell me what organization I would be working for, but I would be paid, and all I would have to do would be to go to cocktail parties and just note down what everybody said, their philosophy, what they said, what they talked about, and send regular reports to Washington, D.C. And Sydney, we would be paid. I would fly back to Washington, D.C. to meet my handlers, and he would not tell me who they were. But, of course, fortunately, I had the presence of mind to turn them down. I just somehow, it didn't sound quite right. I mean, why would I want to become an informant for my government? Well, of course, it was all about communism. We had to control the wicked communists at that time. We had to identify those with, of course, subversive views. never occurs. At the time, I wasn't smart enough to understand that the whole communist movement was being funded by our intelligence agencies and by people in key positions in our government. And the Communist Party USA was so thoroughly infiltrated with members of one or another intelligence agencies that most of the people in the Communist Party USA, most dues-paying members, were actually members of the one or another of the intelligence agencies. Well, one of the most fortunate things I ever did was not accept the assignment, but there are basically all sorts of intelligence agencies today. One of them is called InfoGuard. I said to William was talking about the FBI will admit that they have something 19 or 20,000 agents, but they're paid. Basically, what we actually have is something called InfoGuard. You can look it up on the internet. InfraGard. InfoGuard, and of course, if you go to their website, why, of course, you will find out that they are an FBI organization. They probably have about 40,000 informants across America. These are not paid informants. They're just your neighbors who really are patriotic. They want, of course, to go ahead and help the American people to protect them from the wicked terrorists. And so their job is just to inform. And you can actually meet a couple of the people or these informants. You can go up with YouTube, just type in Jesse Ventura. What was the name of his program? Jesse Ventura's program, which is Jesse Ventura YouTube InfraGard, InfraGard. And you'll actually see the interviews with these patriotic Americans who honestly believe that they are protecting America by informing on their neighbors. 40,000 members of InfoGuard. Now, that's just one of the many agencies they have that is spying. Then the FBI has their own system of informants. Then the CIA, and if we know what the CIA is doing, because certainly Lieutenant General, a gentleman who wrote a book called Fixing Intelligence, and the name escapes me right then, but just look up the book, Amazon, Fixing Intelligence, and you can get the book written in 2003. This man headed the most secret of all the spy agencies. Nobody ever talks about it. It's the NSA, National Security Administration, also known as No Such Agency, NSA. But, of course, the purpose, the goal of the NSA is to monitor all your telephone calls and all your emails and all of your faxes. And they really do that sort of thing, unfortunately. And certainly they have their program. But, of course, they are not supposed to, certainly the CIA is not supposed to be monitoring individuals that operate out of this country. But in this book by Lieutenant General William Odom, as I remember his name, Lieutenant General William Odom, Fixing Intelligence, he can't tell us what's going on because he's the head of the NSA. He signed all the secrecy agreements, but he can ask questions like, should the CIA have agents planted in the media? Should the CIA be carrying out assassinations throughout the world? Well, how do you feel? Do you think the CIA should be assassinating people throughout the world? Should DARPA be collecting dossiers on American citizens? Now, DARPA, of course, is the Defense Intelligence Agency, one specific part of the Defense Department. And, of course, according to Lieutenant General William Odom, they're collecting dossiers on American citizens. If you want the exact references in the book, well, you can go to my website or go up in your search engine, type in Radio Liberty, Lieutenant General William Odom, and it'll take you to the newsletter where we actually give you the reference, the page reference, and what the four questions were. And three of the four questions were, should the CIA have agents planted in the media? Should the CIA be carrying out assassinations? Should DARPA be collecting dossiers on American citizens? I think we would all realize that recognize the fact that this is a forerunner of a dictatorship in America. Well, I don't know what happened with him. I hope he's all right. I was worried about him. He's a very wonderful individual. I'm proud to have him as a friend. And he's almost young enough to be my son. Anyway, of course, it's William Craig's been our guest this evening. And we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program right here at Radio Liberty. Freedom is a very fragile thing. If not protected, it will soon be lost.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dried Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dried Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.